Hear the word of the Lord from John 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." The word of the Lord. After worship here last week in this space, I came forward to the front and I read the questions that you had put out on those big sheets of paper on the floor. And I stood quietly reading them. And I said to a couple of the people who were standing there with me, "There's a lot of heartache around here. There's a lot of heartache in this room. None of us is exempt from suffering. None of us is immune to doubt. We all struggle. We all struggle. We all stumble. We all weep. And so it's really a wonderful gift that in the Gospel of John, we are told the story of Thomas. Now, Thomas was a good guy. Thomas was the kind of guy that you would want on your team. He was brave and he was loyal. Earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 11, when Jesus decides that he's going to go to Bethany, because Mary and Martha have asked him to come because Lazarus is ill. And Jesus decides to go there, even though that place is crawling with people who are opposed to him and his ministry. Thomas says to the rest of the disciples, "Let's go with him so that we may die with him." That's Thomas. And on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, when everyone else is locked in that room for fear of the Jews, Thomas is out there. Thomas is out and about. We don't know where he went, but he wasn't paralyzed by fear. He wasn't trapped in the room. And so when he comes back and everyone says, "Thomas, you'll never believe it. Jesus, he was right here. He stood and he talked to us and he breathed on us and he gave the Holy Spirit and he showed us his hands and his side." He looks at his friends, these brothers and sisters of his who haven't slept in 3 days, who are grief-stricken. He looks at them and he says, you know, whatever this thing was that you saw, this ghost or vision or that's great. And I'm really glad that that brings you comfort. But guys, unless I see the marks, unless I put my hand in his side, I can't believe. Now, this makes a lot of sense. In that time period, people were identified, often in court, by their scars. You were known as Daniel, who had the big scar over his left eyebrow where his brother hit him with a rock when he was a little kid. You were known as Reuben, who lost his pinky in that building accident. You were known by your scars. So Thomas is asking for the ID markers of the day. Makes perfect sense. It makes even more sense when you remember that Thomas himself was a twin. And twins, as you well know, get mixed up all the time. Are you Morgan or Madison? Are you Brad or Chad? Twins get mixed up all the time. Thomas was very used to telling people who he was. No, I'm Thomas. He knew that this identification thing could get mixed up in a real hurry. So we see him coming into this room where all of these sleep-starved people are gathered, and they've got these big circles under their eyes, and their eyes are shining bright, and they say to him, "We've seen Jesus." And Thomas has been out on the streets. Thomas knows what's being said about this group of people. He knows that if one of them goes out there and starts saying things like, "Jesus is alive," it's not going to play well in the streets. So we can imagine him coming into the room and putting the groceries on the counter and looking at all of his friends and saying, "I just can't go there with you." And what do his friends do? What happens next? They stay together. They stay together. They don't know if Jesus is going to come back or not. They didn't know if that was a one-time thing. But they stay together. They stay in Jerusalem for the rest of the festival. They eat together. They say prayers together. They talk together. They are together. Right after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Christian community made a safe place for somebody who doubted. And that's a really good thing. Because ever since then, in the Christian community, there have been people who doubt. In fact, everybody in the Christian community doubts. In my experience as a pastor and as a professor and as a follower of Jesus, when I've had conversations with people about matters of faith and matters of doubt, I would guesstimate that about 80% of us believe 80% of this stuff. We believe about 80%. Like, most of us run about 80%. You know, we got the basics. You know, maybe we can get the creation, fall, redemption piece. We get that. Resurrection stuff. But then there's this 20% that's kind of fluffy. We just, things that just kind of spin out there that we just don't understand. And we're, most of us are right there. And then for some of us, when a crisis hits, maybe it drops down to 10. And we think about walking away altogether. And for some of us, 10 is about the best we can ever do. Some of us would love to have a childlike faith. We would love to have a faith that simply absorbs things and accepts things and just can receive them and go on. But we're not wired that way. We like things that make sense. We like order. We like reason. And frankly, there's a lot to this Christianity stuff that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And we struggle. And so we come into worship and our doubts flutter just behind our prayers and just underneath our singing and just outside of our conversations. Why don't we bring them in? Why don't we bring them up? Are we afraid that if we actually say what we're thinking that we're going to be excluded? Are we afraid that voicing a doubt somehow reveals that we're a weaker Christian than the other people in the room? Are we afraid that having doubts means God doesn't love us? That we're not chosen? That we're not in? For some of you, maybe it is the question about why there's evil in the world, or is Christianity the only way to God, or how does this prayer stuff actually work anyway? For others of you, maybe you've suffered a great loss, and you wonder how in the world a loving God could let that happen in your life. And others of us may wrestle with knowing that we are really, truly forgiven. Perhaps the healthiest thing we can do as brothers and sisters in Christ is to make safe space for the doubts. Maybe tonight, as you go out from here and you're on your floor, or you're with your friends, or throughout the week in a Bible study, over conversation with a mentor, you ask the question, where are your tender spots when it comes to faith? Where are they for you? What are the things you wonder about? Because the model that we're given in Scripture is that the Christian community is a safe space for people who doubt. They were all together in one place. All the disciples who had seen Jesus and Thomas who hadn't. All of the disciples who believed that Jesus was alive and Thomas who didn't. They were all together. And you better believe they were talking about this. But our model for how to embrace each other, how to embrace our own doubts and fears, isn't just from that Christian community, it's from Jesus himself. Jesus comes back into the midst of these people and he greets everybody, peace be with you, but then he turns right to Thomas. And he doesn't shake his finger at him. And he doesn't push him out the door. He shows him his hands. And he says, look at my scars, touch. Reach your hand out. Put it in my side. Jesus opens himself up for scrutiny. He invites investigation. Jesus is not worried that if Thomas gets too close, he's going to find out something that he shouldn't know. Jesus wants him to look. He wants him to touch. He wants him to believe. He says to him, stop doubting and believe. And he doesn't say this for his own sake, because Jesus is who Jesus is, whether Thomas believes him or not. He says it for Thomas's sake. He wants Thomas to know the power of the resurrection. He wants Thomas to know that death does not have the final say in this world. He wants Thomas to know that grief does not win out anymore. He wants Thomas to know that sorrows will someday be over. He wants Thomas to know the power of the resurrection. And this is why he says, stop doubting and believe. It is his deep overflow of love for Thomas that makes him invite Thomas in to look closer. And you can hear the tenderness in Jesus' words when he says, do you believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. And some people have seen this as a judgment of Thomas, like a condemnation of some sort. But that's not accurate from what we know about Thomas, and it's not accurate for what we know about Jesus. Because Thomas was a good guy. He was loyal. He was part of a team. And Jesus, when's the other big time in Scripture when Jesus says, blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the... Blessed are the meek, for they will... Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be... Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and mutter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account, for your reward will be great in heaven. Do any of those blessings sound easy to you? Does Jesus ever say, blessed are you when all your hopes and dreams come true? Does Jesus ever say, blessed is the one whose prayers are always answered? Jesus' blessings are for people who struggle and stay the course. Jesus knows the courage that it takes to believe the unbelievable. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus knows that this faith stuff is hard. John, the writer of this gospel, knew that this faith stuff was hard. Right at the end of the story that we read, he says, now all of these things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that believing you may have life in his name. John knew how hard it was going to be for people to believe this stuff, this crazy stuff about a Jewish rabbi who died on a cross and rose again. He knew how hard it was going to be, so he put all these stories together in a book. And so we have, as heroes of faith, not only people like Abraham and Moses and Hannah and Mary, but also Thomas. And the father of the boy in the story recorded in Mark 9, who has the grand testimony that all of us can claim, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Doubting is part and parcel of the Christian life. It's part and parcel of what it means to be limited and incarnate in the way that we are, and being so distant from the mind of God. Jesus knows that this faith stuff is hard. And that same selfless love that resulted in those deep scars is the same selfless love that reaches out to you right now, not to judge, but to invite, not to push away, but to embrace. Tonight, our Jesus says to us, blessed, blessed, blessed are you, all of you, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Will you pray with me?
God our Father, we give you praise and thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, who seeks out doubters, who is unafraid of hard questions, who invites investigation. We give you praise and thanks for Thomas, who was willing to say that he didn't believe and was willing to hang around with people who did. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters here in this room with us, who will encourage us, who will sing for us when we can't sing, who will pray for us when we can't pray. And together with us, we'll say, Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen.